Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm talking about my trip to Israel this week. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I got to go with my wife and two boys to Israel. And I want to relate just the experience and how I think that it communicates why we can trust the Bible. So that is always the purpose of this program. And I started talking yesterday about archaeology. And remember, the way that I'm going about this is to say, hey, if there were two people living back in 50 AD in Jerusalem, so nearly 2,000 years ago, one a person who trusts the Bible, one someone who thinks the Bible is just nonsense. And they were to both make predictions about what would be around in the city, what would be discovered, what would the story of the city of Jerusalem or the story of Israel be in the year 2019, let's say. What kind of predictions would the Bible believer make versus what kind of predictions would the non-believer make? And who has borne out to be true? You know, who has made the more accurate predictions? Well, I think the Bible believer would have made predictions based on the belief that the Bible is true that have come to pass. And so this is, I think, very weighty evidence for the Bible, evidence that the Bible needs to be taken seriously, evidence that you can't just dismiss it as some silly mythology or religious writing by men who didn't have any real connection with God. None of this proves the Bible, but I think it puts in the support structure, the foundation, if you will, from which to think through the claims the Bible makes in a serious way. So, archaeology. I talked about Hezekiah's tunnel. The Bible describes Hezekiah building this tunnel. We find not only the tunnel, but written inscriptions in the tunnel that line up exactly with the biblical account. They weren't around for hundreds of years, including during the life of Jesus, and all the way through the 19th and into the 20th century, no one knew where this tunnel was. No one knew if there was any support for it, yet there it is. And I got to walk through it, an amazing experience. But there are so many other things. I got to see Isaac's well, the remains of Beersheba, the city where Abraham and Isaac spent time. We read about Jacob going through Beersheba, and Genesis records Isaac building or digging a well there. And indeed, there is a well there. I got to stand right next to it. And at the bottom of the well, you can see, you can look down, and the stones there date to the time of Isaac. This city was underground again. This is, archaeologists had to dig this out of the dirt. For hundreds and hundreds of years, it was covered over. And, you know, really probably in the future, because it's now exposed, it's all been dug up and it's just sitting out there in the rain and the sun and everything else, you know, probably it's not going to be in good shape in another 100, 200 years. So we're really in a brief window of time where you can travel to Israel and you can see all these things that have been underground, and you can see them in such good shape. And again, someone living 2,000 years ago would have never expected we would find all this stuff. Would have never thought there'd even be archaeologists who would put the time and resources into digging up all this stuff, let alone actually finding it and it being there. But we can find evidence of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can find evidence of Jesus. We found Caiaphas's coffin, Herod's coffin. We've found so many inscriptions that line up with the biblical story, and you can go into museums and actually see them in person. I also got to see an altar that was at Beersheba. It was found broken into pieces. Why was it broken into pieces? Well, the Bible tells us that Hezekiah destroyed all the altars, that he smashed the high places because it was false worship. You were only supposed to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And so here we go, and we find in some of these cities where there were high places, we find them smashed, and they have been reassembled and put into the Israel Museum, and you can see them there. They have a replica at Beersheba. So this is just some examples of some of the things we find that speak to someone who would think the Bible's nonsense wouldn't think that we would find all this stuff. Someone who thinks the Bible's true would say, you know, I don't know if we'll find this stuff or not. The truth of the Bible doesn't depend on it, but the stuff is there. Hezekiah's tunnel's got to be there somewhere. The wall around the old city of Jerusalem has to be there somewhere. They might not even go so far as to predict that people would one day dig it up and find all this stuff, but here we are. It's been found, and it confirms the Bible. Now, again, that doesn't mean the Bible's true about who God is, how to have a relationship with God, all of that, but it does mean that there is a certain credibility, a ring of truth, a historical accuracy to the Bible that means we can't just dismiss it. We've got to take it seriously. So that's one line of argument, and that is the argument from archaeology. It verifies to a certain extent the trustworthiness of the historical information in the Bible, which lends us to want to take seriously what it teaches us about God. Doesn't prove it, but it certainly supports it. Now, there are other things that I think give us some support for the supernatural teaching in the Bible, for what it says about God, for what it says about Jesus, for what it says about how to be saved. So I haven't even started covering those. I'm getting there. But again, I'm just sharing not just things. I've talked about Israel before on the program, but I want to share my personal experiences being there. And so the direction I want to go, I'm going to introduce it now. I'm going to talk about it more tomorrow. And that is the temple. I was blown away by how magnificent the temple was. The story of the temple, it's amazing, the history of it. The fact that you can see today where the aqueduct was cut through the rock to provide water for the first temple. So this is David's work. David, in preparing the Temple Mount for Solomon to build the temple, he would have built an aqueduct so that water could come, because you need a lot of water for the temple. And you can walk through it today. I did. I got to walk through this channel cut by David in the rock to service the first temple. There were two temples. The first temple built by Solomon some 3,000 years ago now, destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. And then the second temple was built beginning 70 years later, but remodeled, renovated, and made even more magnificent by Herod during the lifetime of Jesus. It wasn't even completed in Jesus' lifetime. But by 70 AD, it was complete and was destroyed by the Romans. So that's known as the Second Temple. So you have the First Temple, the Second Temple, and we are looking forward to the Third Temple to come, or at least I am. I believe the Bible encourages believers to look forward to the construction of the Third Temple for a number of reasons. I'll talk about that a little bit. But there are preparations underway for the Third Temple. And I got to actually see the items that have been made out of pure gold. The menorah, for instance, the seven-branched lampstand that stood in the first temple and the second temple. It was carried off by the Romans when the second temple was destroyed. Well, a new one has been built, a half a ton of gold. And you can stand in front of it. I've got pictures in front of it. It is the menorah that will go in the third temple. In other words, this wasn't just made to show us what the second temple menorah looks like. This was prepared for the purpose of functioning in the holy place in the third temple. And all the other items and utensils and everything, the altar of incense, all the things necessary for the third temple are already made and certified as ready to serve in the third temple. That's exciting. You would never expect that to happen. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. That would never happen if there was no truth to the Bible, or at least it is an incredible coincidence. And so we'll talk about that more tomorrow. But I love the story of the temple. I'm blown away by the size of the temple, by what went into building the temple. This is the most special place, I would say, on earth. Is the Temple Mount and where the temple stood and what is going to happen in the Temple Mount. And I got to tour it all. I'll talk more about my experience with it tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.